Father, as we look at this in your word, I pray that we think your thoughts after you. Please give us a fresh sense of who you are through this interaction that Zacchaeus had with Jesus. Please bless your people, amaze them with how you interacted with Zacchaeus and how that is on the table for each of us. I pray this in your name. Amen. Well, it's not enough to be fabulously rich. It just doesn't quite satisfy. There's never enough. Zacchaeus knew that. He'd piled up wealth for as long as he could remember. And being a chief tax collector, he'd skimmed the cream off a bunch of other tax collectors. It wasn't enough to be a mover and shaker in the tax system, though he'd climbed the ranks to be a chief tax collector. Something still ached inside of Zacchaeus that would not be sated. With all the trimmings of success, with everything that he had, he was still searching. Something was missing. He was unfulfilled, he was empty, and he was desperately in need. He was searching for something. He knew it inside. Nothing was enough to fill up the void and the emptiness that he felt. Then one day, Jesus passed through Jericho. You see, that's where Zacchaeus was. And Zacchaeus had this overwhelming urge that he had to meet Jesus. He just had to meet him. It gripped him. He couldn't let it go. And so he found himself, unusually, walking away from the tax collector booth. He was walking towards where Jesus was going. But everywhere Zacchaeus went, he was blocked. You see, Zacchaeus was a shorty. Everywhere he went, he was jostled out of position. And it didn't help that he was the one responsible for their taxes. It didn't help that he was a primary agent in the mechanisms of the regime that was over them. No one liked him. He just had no place in their world. But Zacchaeus wasn't done. He ran ahead of the crowd. He wouldn't let the crowd get in the way of him meeting Jesus. It was that important to him. You see, something about finding out about Jesus had impressed itself on him in ways that made him move. And not just walk, but run. And you have to realize that Middle Eastern men don't run to things. It's undignified. You have to pick up your clothes a little bit in an undignified way and run like a kid. You expected kids to do that, but not grown adults. And you certainly didn't expect the chief tax collector to do that. But that's what Zacchaeus did. He ran ahead of Jesus. Everyone stared at him with disdain, but it didn't slow him down. He wouldn't let it stop him. You see, meeting Jesus really mattered to him that day. He even climbed a sycamore tree to get some height. That was Zacchaeus. Now, grown men didn't climb trees in the Middle East, but Zacchaeus climbed a tree. He'd already run ahead, he'd done that. Now he was climbing a tree. You see, it didn't matter that it was undignified. He had to meet Jesus. That was Zacchaeus leading up to that moment. But that's only half the story. You see, here's the really weird thing about that moment. Jesus was compelled to come to that very same place on that very same day, at that very same moment, to meet Zacchaeus. You see, Jesus kept walking amidst the throng of humanity that had gathered. He walked through Jericho and he came purposefully down the path to that sycamore tree to where Zacchaeus had climbed. And without missing a beat, he looked up at Zacchaeus. And he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your place." How did he know his name? How did he know he was there right at that moment? Why did he have to come to his home that day? All of these questions hung in the air. Zacchaeus, for his part, was glad beyond comparison. This was the encounter he'd run towards, climbed trees to have happen, and fought his ways past crowds for. And he held it in his heart as precious. There was no hesitation from him. So he hurried down from the tree. He welcomed Jesus gladly into his home. Jesus got the full benefits of the hospitality of Zacchaeus' house. Well, that right there was the catalyst for some serious misgivings from the crowd. No one associated with tax collectors. They were part of the occupying regime's administration. So to befriend them was to befriend Rome. The taxes they collected supported Rome. And those tax collectors facilitated that. And there were Mishnahs, Jewish teachings, that said having a tax collector in your home made the whole house unclean. Now you have to hear this, because the same Mishnahs taught that for thieves, it was only unclean in your home where the thief walked. So you get the picture. Tax collectors are worse than thieves. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So the crowd, oh, they grumbled. They said, "Jesus is going to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." It was terrible. Well, if looks could burn and resentment sear, Zacchaeus should have been smoked. But Zacchaeus was somehow a new man. He wasn't the same person he'd been. He wasn't doing any of the dodgy things that he'd done before. Quite the opposite. He stood up and he said to Jesus, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." All that had happened was that he had met Jesus. Now, the law didn't require you to give back that much. It was clear that Zacchaeus wanted to go beyond the mere observance of what the law required. He was the real deal of change. How does meeting Jesus bring such change? What has happened in Zacchaeus to bring such radical change? I think it's this. Zacchaeus has begun calling Jesus Lord. He knows that life as he's previously lived it is crook. And when he meets Jesus, he acknowledges him as the one who gets to have the say in his life, calls him Lord. Change has occurred through knowing Jesus and recognizing him as that authoritative figure that gets to have the say in his life. Change has happened, and Jesus confirms that that change has happened. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham." Well, calling Zacchaeus a son of Abraham is calling him one of God's people. A son of Abraham was an Israelite, one of the people of God. Jesus is saying, this is one of God's people. And that must have been a tall order for the crowd to hear that this tax collector is one of God's chosen people. They must have flinched, been aghast. It's like Jesus was redefining the whole concept of what an Israelite was. A person of God was not who they'd expected it to be. Someone that had met and got to know Jesus. And calling him saved was another thing again as well. Only God can save people. And Jesus was declaring that something that was true for Zacchaeus was that he was saved right there and then. Today, salvation has come to this house. But it soon became clear that what had happened in Zacchaeus' life wasn't something of his own initiative. This is where the story gets really amazing to me. Jesus said about himself, and you know this by heart, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Luke 19:10. Very good. Seems to be the definitive statement in all that's happened. Jesus came to seek lost people and to save them. And that was Zacchaeus. He was lost. He was searching for something. You know that he was lost because of that deep searching. He had to meet Jesus. There was something missing. He was willing to run, climb trees. He had to meet Jesus. From Zacchaeus' side, it felt like he'd been the one engineering everything to happen, to seek Jesus and to make that happen. But then you discover that Jesus has actually had this whole appointment in his sights from the very beginning. That's amazing. That's remarkable. You say this is no chance meeting or lucky coming together. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. Jesus knew where to walk. Jesus knew when to get to that sycamore tree. And here's the thing about what Jesus said to him. He said, "I must come to your house today." Only he used this funny Greek word. It's day. And it means it's necessary that I come to your house. But whenever you hear that word, it usually means it's divinely necessary. That is, God, in his magnificence, has made this necessary. Jesus is saying that it is necessary in God's plans that he come to Zacchaeus' house that day. Remarkable. God made it necessary. So this is the extraordinary truth about this meeting. What seemed like Zacchaeus seeking and searching was also Jesus seeking and searching and finding and saving lost people like Zacchaeus. What this means is that Zacchaeus has had God's hand on his life to bring him to this meeting and to bring change and salvation to his life. God has him in his sights. And I think that Zacchaeus must have been amazed at that thought. But you know something even more remarkable? According to the Apostle Paul, this is much more than just a setting up an hour or two before, or even a day or two before. Paul says that God chose people in himself. I might need your help in the next slide. Oh no, it's come up. God chose his people in himself before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That comes from Ephesians 1:4. What that tells me is that this appointment that Zacchaeus has had its origins ever before the world began. Doesn't matter what calendar you look at, this appointment came first before all other appointments. That's pretty extraordinary, don't you think? That God had Zacchaeus in his sights like that. Well, Zacchaeus was changed. He was changed because of something that God had worked in his life. The emptiness that he felt was gone. He was changed. You can see that it was changed because of his words. And that change was something in the divine plans of God. Jesus had him in his sights from the beginning. And he said that in those next verses, in that verse that we know. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now you've got to realize what this means in its time when Jesus says that he's saved. No one ever had all of the sin and offense of their lives dealt with before God without going to the temple in Jerusalem and having a sacrifice. But Jesus was saying, today salvation has come to this house. You see, Zacchaeus didn't need the temple in Jerusalem. He didn't need the sacrifices at the altar. He needed Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice that all other sacrifices pointed to. And of course, time would tell that Jesus was the sacrifice that all other sacrifices pointed to. John called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the sacrificial lamb. And Jesus became that sacrifice through his death on the cross. So what Zacchaeus was finding, that's that you don't go to Jerusalem to meet God, you go to Jesus. And you go to Jesus because of an appointment that he set up before the foundations of the world. Well, I've said this before, but there are times when I wish that we had an MP3 recording or a video recording of what happened between two people in the Bible. And I would love to have heard the conversation that happened between Zacchaeus and Jesus as Zacchaeus welcomed him into his home. I wish we had the epitaph about what happened after this as well. I'd love to know what followed from this. I bet all the tax collectors that answered to Zacchaeus had questions about what Zacchaeus had said. There's all this follow-on that happened, but we don't have it. And I think that we don't have it because it's an invitation for us to put ourselves in the story, to follow in Zacchaeus' step to get to know Jesus and to work out what the next step is in our own context of following after Jesus. So what about you? Where are you at in getting to know Jesus? Have you been seeking for something to fill the void? Because Jesus is the answer that we all need, and that's what Zacchaeus points to. The book of Jeremiah says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." There's a promise in that you can count on him being found when you seek him with all your heart. And what Zacchaeus shows us is that he has been searching for you all this time, and he's had an appointment with you since before the foundation of the world. Well, how about I pray for you as you consider those things? It's been my prayer that as you consider these things, you go away amazed at the goodness of God, how he has had these things planned since the foundation of the world and had you in his sights. Because I think that's a truly remarkable thing that comes out of this. And that's what I prayed would be remarkable to you. Let me pray now. Heavenly Father, thank you that you care so much about people, that you have had them in your sights since before the foundation of the world. I thank you that Zacchaeus had this huge ache in his heart, and he was willing to put aside what was reasonable and acceptable and get beyond the cultural things of his day in order to go and to find Jesus, to meet him. But I thank you even more that Jesus had been seeking him and he came to save him, and that salvation was right there and then, in that moment, in meeting Jesus and calling him Lord. And Father, my prayer is for any listening here or online, that if they're seeking, if they have an emptiness in their heart and a longing for something to fill that hole, I pray that they would know that they can come to know Jesus through reading about him in your word, the Bible. And thank you that you use that word to impress on us things about who Jesus is, so that we might also call him Lord as well. And so, Father, I pray for your people as they leave this place today. I pray that they would worship you in the knowledge of what a wonderful and good God you are, who seeks them out, who has them in his sight and cares deeply for them. I pray all of this in your name. Amen.